And on today's Windy City Crewcast, Deb Pierce from Toronto, we're discussing the difference between their elections and our elections. And it's really such a chick show. Sorry, guys. We're talking about pregnancy and, well, pregnancy and apples. Also, by the way, our segment with Sin for the bisexuals out there in your life. Movie review with Richard Knight Jr. News and what's going on in the theater scene. Ooh, bite into a crispy apple.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Deb Pierce.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This Queer Cast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming.
American Airlines, offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
And by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Listening to the Windy City Queercast show number 249. I'm Amy Matheny.
Yes, you are, and I'm Deb Pierce.
Hello, Deb Pierce in Toronto.
Hi.
Man, we all want to move to Canada. Our fucking government can't figure it out.
Listen, if I have to hear Sarah Palin talk one more time.
Oh, honey, she's going to be on tonight. Tonight, well, this podcast is being recorded right before the debate, so.
Well, look at me canceling my cable subscription just beforehand.
Oh, honey, just go online.
I'm good. I'm good never to watch her. Unless she's on Saturday Night Live or a version played by Tina Fey, I'm good.
Yeah. I heard she was on again this weekend, Tina Fey as Sarah Palin. And
no,
she tried to call for a lifeline. It was Katie Couric and Sarah Palin. I need to watch this on YouTube. I tried the other day and I couldn't get on.
Oh, but, Katie Couric, her silence and her deadpan and her repetition of the same question, getting no answer from Sarah Palin, was priceless last week.
I still haven't seen that either. You've seen more than I have. I can't feign to watch it because it's too scary.
Well, I'll tell you, your American politics is shoved down Canadian throats, and yet you probably don't know that we have an election coming up. Although you do, because we've talked, and you've got a little, you've got a little Canadian savvy thing going on.
I am now a lover of the Canadian.
Yep.
Only enhanced by the fact that you live there.
Thank you very much.
And I need a trip. I was just telling a friend that I need to get away.
I need to get away. You need to get away. I think Puerto Vallarta.
Let's go.
Okay.
We can podcast from down there.
Oh, don't even start with me because I'm halfway out the door right now.
You and me
both.
Oh,
does that mean I have to shave my legs?
You could shave them into a mohawk. I always used to do that when I was like, 15. I would be at summer camp and we would let our hair on our legs grow and then we would just leave one stripe of hair along the top of the leg.
You were ahead of your time there. I'll tell you, I remember the first time I ever shaved my legs. It was sixth grade, or grade six, as we say. And I looked, when I got cold, because I was a swimmer, I competed in swimming and stuff. When I got cold, my legs would stand out. I looked like a little orangutan. And I shaved them for the first time, and I came home, and my mom's like, "You're a lady now. You're a real woman." I'm like, if this is what it means, I'm not shaving.
But you're so blonde. What do you mean you're an orangutan?
Oh, they stuck right out. I had like 2 inches. Of leg hair. It was ridiculous. I can't explain it. It's
now
not
that we
there
have
anymore.
No gay men at all listening to this Queercast.
Yeah, no, we're not fitting any stereotypes. But listen, it made the Birkenstocks easier to slip into with that furry trim right around the end.
Are you a Birkenstock wearer?
Not anymore.
Yeah.
I went through a phase. And I wore them until I couldn't wear them around the house anymore. But yeah, I went through my phase. Now I just do flip flops or nothing. I love bare feet. I don't enjoy shoes.
Oh, that's like Katie Lang.
Well,
she loves
Canadian
the bare
lesbians.
Feet.
Yeah. Yeah, see?
Yeah, I've become kind of anti. I've never had a pair of Birkenstocks. It's not that I don't. I have nothing against anybody who wears them. I just don't have any. I never have had any. And yep. But I just had the conversation with Kelly the other day, which was, honey, you can't wear Crocs anymore. No
Your
more.
Your partner wears Crocs?
She does.
Oh no.
She loves
no.
them.
Oh no. You know what? You can love Crocs and you can love Moo-Moos, but it doesn't mean they're right.
I know.
They're wrong. I know Kelly's the love of your life. She's beautiful, fantastic, but Kelly, you're wrong.
And Mitchell came home from his Euro tour going, you know what's the best thing about traveling Europe? Wearing Crocs. And I was like, Mitchell, are you kidding me? He had all these little decoration, little...
No, listen, I did an AIDS walk last weekend, and I was giving away awards and DVDs and CDs and Proud FM t-shirts, and I literally gave away prizes to people not wearing Crocs. I can't support it. They're ugly.
Go.
They're terrible. They're horrible. I know they're comfortable, but you know what? They're really bad for you. They're like tree torns and those Dockciders were in the 80s, the no support.
Well, they're gardening shoes. I've had Crocs for years because I love to get in the dirt. But you don't want the open holes in your gardening shoes. So that's where they went wrong, when they put the holes, meaning that you could wear them for hours. You know, you only wear gardening shoes for like an hour or two.
Right.
But they put those aerated holes in it so people could wear them for like 12 hours. And that's where we started having problems.
Oh, they're terrible. And you know what? I have probably 8 different photographs in my cell phone where I take pictures when couples wear their matching Crocs together. Specifically, there was a couple at the True Colors concert wearing orange Crocs yes. together with wool socks.
Okay. Well, I like the orange. I mean, if you're going to have Crocs, you should have orange.
Oh, you're I'm losing you.
You're
conceding. You're conceding to the other side.
I have a pair. I have one pair, but I only wear them.
Admitting it is the first step.
But I don't wear them. I mean, I don't wear them. I wear them in my yard.
Yeah,
and I do have a pair of Croc sandals, which are great for the beach. But they barely look like a Croc, and I can just hose them off. I don't like to get sand in my flip flops because I can't ever get it out, and then it snaps all over my house. So the Crocs are good for me to go to Lake Michigan. That's it. That's all they're good
for. All right.
For.
Okay. Well,
I use
I'll
them
tell
in
you.
The right way. I don't wear them to, like, go to the theater or go shopping or...
I've seen people wear them to a bar.
Yeah. Kelly's going to hate me. She's going to hate me. We've already talked about this long enough. Now she's going to be totally embarrassed.
Well, it's just the other people. Kelly can do it because we love Kelly. But the other people shouldn't do it.
We do love Kelly. I am sitting here...
Comfort doesn't mean style. Okay. What?
Enjoying the fact that we are in fall in one way.
It's kind of cozy, isn't it? I'm kind of pulling out things, and I'll be honest with you, Amy. When I try something on that I wore last fall and winter, I get excited.
Yeah.
Because I can fit into it still.
There you go.
Right?
That's good.
I know. Once I get the wrinkles out of my little V-neck, I like to wear a little sweater with a T-shirt underneath. It's, I don't know what it is, preppy or something.
Yeah.
But I really like to get my little, you know, my little esprit sweaters out, and it's cozy.
Little esprit sweaters. I haven't worn an esprit anything since... 1988.
I know. Well, listen, we live close to a military, like an outlet mall.
Yeah.
And I needed to dress up my work a little bit because there's only so many, you know, ways to wear a Harley Davidson t-shirt. So underneath I can wear, you know, a little Unlearned or Harley Davidson shirt, but over top I wear a little sweater.
Yeah.
It's my little rebellion. But I do love fall. It's very cozy. It brings out the romantic in me. I mean, I've got fall fever. I'm walking down the street. I'm like, hello, hello. Hey.
Really? I just get fall allergies, the fall cold now. But the one thing that's good about the fall, and I like the fall. I'm being bad because I'm just not ready to give up my summer yet. Mm-hmm. But is that this week I have finally had my first Honeycrisp apples, and I don't know if you get Honeycrisp apples up there.
We get bushels of so many different kinds of really great apples up here.
Okay, but you have to try the Honeycrisp.
Are they the brown ones?
Nope. They're mottled. They're red and a little green and a little yellow, and they look like what an apple should look like.
Okay.
And they are, I'm addicted. So, folks, if you're listening to this, go to your local grocery. If you can buy them organic, they're better, but they're actually just so damn good plain. Just get one. Get a Honeycrisp.
I bet you could have a different name
apple.
For them. Honeycrisp?
No, there's no different name. Honeycrisp, like the cereal. Honeycrisp apple. They are tart and sweet. They are hard. They are a great eating apple, and they are a good size. They're not so gargantuan that you feel like, oh my God, I'm going to be tired after eating this apple.
It's like you're on the apple growers board or something.
What?
It's like you're on the apple growers, apple orchard board or something.
Yeah, it's like that old Saturday Night Live when they used to do public radio.
Yeah.
Right? Apples. Mmm.
Mmm, apples. I love apples.
Honeycrisp.
Yeah, Honeycrisp. Yeah.
They're delicious.
They are really good.
Gaia. Yeah, no. I'm telling you, they're really good. Somebody told me Pink Ladies were also good, but I am all about the Honeycrisp. I bought a dozen of them last night.
And then they're really,
I mean, I'm addicted.
You could just go through them. I bring an apple a day to work.
Do you?
Yeah,
I don't even like apples. I do not like apples. That's how good a Honeycrisp apple is.
Wow. I've been getting into the Royal Gala apple.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy those now. I used to do the Macintosh, but they're done. They're so passe.
No, no. You are, if you can't find one of these... How can I ship food across lines? I got to get you some of these.
Put it in the... I'm not coming down for Gay's Got Talent next year or something?
Yeah.
Okay, put it in a pie.
Yep. No, you don't want to cook these.
Oh, no, no. They have to be fresh and crisp and just a little bit cold.
Yes, I keep them in the fridge.
Yeah, I can't do too cold. I have teeth sensitivities, but a little cold. Ew, warm room temperature, not good.
No, I slice them because I have teeth, too, that I don't love to have cold. And they're so good. I really want to just snap one into the microphone right now.
Well, I think you should go get one.
I have one in my mouth right
now.
Okay,
I want to hear it. We'll do a commercial. Okay, wait a minute.
I'm biting. I'm chewing.
Oh, crap. Okay, hold on a second.
I'm doing whatever I do with an apple.
Okay, hold on a second. We're going to introduce it. Hmm. There's nothing that says fall like a Honeycrisp apple. Isn't that right, Amy?
It is. Listen. Can you hear that? They're really
good. I did hear it. I've got to look in my bag for an apple.
Oh, my God. So good.
I must have eaten mine today.
It's almost better than sex.
Almost. Don't get carried away.
No.
I mean, they're good.
They're good. So how are you doing on your Helen Mirren movie viewing?
Thank you very much. I am now obsessed with trying to find the bloody movie, and I can't find it anywhere in
Canada.
I'm going
to ship you an apple and a DVD.
Fine. I would love to get an apple and a DVD.
Yeah. That is some weird...
Or a VHS. I don't think they make it on DVD. I swear to God.
I got to go look. I used to have it on VHS. I think I bought it on DVD, just to have it on DVD.
Really?
Yep.
You may have it in your possession, and I don't even know
it
yet.
Why don't you just buy it? How much can it cost? We're talking about Losing Chase, the Kevin Bacon-directed film with his wife, Kira Sedgwick, Beau Bridges, and Helen Mirren, Helen.
Now, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Do you know every single line from that film?
Oh, no.
No.
I'm really not in it for the text.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like Tootsie or films that I can quote, you know, like Raising Arizona and... No, this is like I am all in this for.
The visuals. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm going to give you a quote from one of my favorite films. Are you ready? Let's see if you know it. Ready?
Okay.
Okay, picture this. Little cowboy, pitchfork, hay, and a cowboy hat. Says to a lesbian, "How you get all that traffic with no equipment is beyond me." Name that film.
Toy Story. I don't know.
No, Desert Hearts.
Oh, I'm a bad lesbian.
You are.
I interviewed Helen Shaver.
Did you?
Do you know what my interesting story about her is? I just mentioned this to Kelly 2 weeks ago, and this will make sense now why, but I was supposed to interview her, and I was so super excited on 9/11. And she had to call me and we canceled the interview. So we talked like for 15 seconds on the morning of 9/11. And then I ended up interviewing her 2 or 3 weeks later.
The 9/11, not a commemorative.
The 9/11,
like not a day,
which is why Kelly and I were just talking about it a couple weeks ago when the anniversary hit. Isn't that wild?
That is wild.
Yeah. She was lovely. I really love her.
She's Canadian.
She's Canadian.
I'm making that up because she's lovely, but I think she's Canadian.
I don't know what she is. She played the transgendered character on a television show. That's what I was interviewing her about. The Education of Max Bickford with Richard Dreyfuss.
I haven't seen anything in her. I haven't seen anything in her. Wow. Is there a Freud in the house? I haven't seen anything with her in it since then.
No,
or maybe
I haven't
little
either.
Made for TVs, you know.
No, I haven't either.
Movies.
Come back to the Five and Dime, Helen Shaver. Helen Shaver.
And Patricia Charbonneau, who is also in Desert Hearts. Where is she now?
Don't know. Let's Google her.
Such a form. Please do. She's such. That's such a formative film. We used to have, because I'm from a small town outside of Toronto, but Toronto City TV would have what they call blue movies, and overnight they'd have movies with sex scenes and nudity, but not until maybe after midnight. So I'd come home after the bar as a teenager. I mean, from church. No, from the bars as a teenager, and watch these movies until my dad caught me and made me go to bed. But my friend taped this movie one night, taped Desert Hearts, and gave it to me. And this was when I was sort of out, but not really out. I didn't really have a vocabulary around it.
Yep.
I'll tell you, I literally still have that VHS tape.
Do you?
I put it in a special case because it's symbolic to me of I'm not alone, and boy, and the music in that I just love.
Yeah. I remember, I mean, you know, we've discussed this. I have a friend, and he and I discussed this one time, and he said he remembered seeing Making Love, like that was the big
formative movie,
three-way movie. And then for me, I remember seeing two things. I remember seeing the old French version of Le Cage aux Folles, which was about gay men, but I knew it was about gays, you know.
Yep.
Used to crack me up when he would try to butter his toast because he was trying to be masculine, and the toast broke in half and he squealed. I thought it was the funniest thing ever. And then I remember seeing with my boyfriend, Jerry, who's coming to town this weekend actually to visit, who's gay. I remembered him.
Shocking.
I remembered he worked at a place called The Video Guy in Cleveland, Tennessee. So we would watch all these John Waters films and Peter Greenaway films and Ken Russell. And I remember within like 2 weeks, he brought in Lair of the White Worm with Amanda Donahoe.
Oh my gosh, you're bringing up oldies. Wow.
And The Hunger.
Oh, wow.
He got so lucky the night he showed me The Hunger, I can't even tell you.
Well, it's kind of changed. It kind of changes you, doesn't it?
It does.
It's this surreal, but it lives in a reality because of the outside world, but it's this surreal, it's an incredible film, and then, of course, laden with that sexuality.
Yeah. Hot.
Very hot.
Hey, we've got to take a break. We've got to tell you what's going on in the theater scene. Plus,
do you mind if I just step out to grab a quick apple?
Go grab a apple.
Okay.
Grab a apple. Grab an apple.
Okay.
We've got to tell you what's going on in the theater scene. There's lots of great shows going on in the Chicagoland area if you live here. Also, no matter where you live, Richard Knight Jr. has got the hottest new movie, Nick and Nora. He'll give us his review and tell us what he thinks about that film. And then we'll be back with Deb Pierce. Now
the movie thrilled millions. The legendary soundtrack won a place in our hearts forever. And now the unforgettable story of Baby and Johnny comes alive in a must-see theatrical phenomenon. And now this is Dirty Dancing, the classic story on stage, and it's coming to Chicago. Exploding with heart-pounding music, sensational dancing, and breathtaking emotion, this worldwide stage hit will have its U.S. premiere at the Cadillac Palace Theater.
Watch me now.
Dirty Dancing begins performances September 28th. Get tickets now at BroadwayInChicago.com and have the time of your life at Dirty Dancing.
Culture.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of September 29th, 2008, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Weird and wonderful, devastatingly lovely, exclaimed the New York Times when Sarah Rule's Eurydice premiered. Now's your chance to see it in Chicago. Victory Gardens Theater presents Eurydice, a bold, beautiful take on the classic Orpheus myth, a modern-day tale of love and loss told from the heroine's point of view. Don't miss this remarkable production playing now at the Victory Gardens Biograph. For tickets, visit victorygardens.org.
Remy Bumbo Theater presents the Chicago premiere of The Voicey Inheritance by Harley Granville Barker, adapted by David Mamet. When do-gooder Edward Voicey learns of shady dealings within the family business, he's determined to set things right. But the rest of the family has other plans. The Voicey Inheritance plays through November 2nd at the Victory Gardens Greenhouse Theater, 2257 North Lincoln Avenue. For tickets, visit remybumbo.org.
Playing now and just extended, Court Theater in Hyde Park presents the Chicago premiere of Tony Kushner's Caroline or Change, starring Ife Butler. The Boston Globe calls this award-winning musical a masterpiece. For tickets and information to Caroline or Change, visit courttheater.org.
Don't miss Turn of the Century, this season's star-studded musical by the writers of Jersey Boys and directed by Tommy Toon at Goodman Theater. Jeff Daniels and Rachel York star in this romantic romp through time and the American Songbook. Tickets on sale now at goodmantheater.org.
Forbidden Broadway, New York's acclaimed musical, returns to Chicago with a brand new show for 2008. Gleefully ripping through Broadway's biggest hits and flops, including August Osage County, Gypsy with Patti LuPone, and Young Frankenstein. Playing at the Royal George Theater, visit Ticketmaster.com.
The most successful rock and roll musical of all time, Buddy, the Buddy Holly story, is now playing at Drury Lane Water Tower, featuring classics like La Bamba, That'll Be the Day, Chantilly Lace, and Peggy Sue. For ticket information, visit Ticketmaster.com.
And at Northlight Theater this Halloween season, one man's nightmares come to life in the classic psychological thriller, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. This fiendishly clever new adaptation will thrill audiences with the startling truth that there's a little Hyde in all of us. Playing now through October 26th. For information, visit northlight.org.
For more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hey, this is Cindy Lauper. Big shout out to Windy City Clearcast.
Let's go to the movies anyway and see.
I'm Richard Knight Jr. with another Night at the Movies Minute. Teen nerd extraordinaire Michael Cera of Superbad and Juno and pretty cat Demi to the 40-year-old virgin with her Liv Tyler pouty lips are the stars of Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist, a big-screen adaptation of gay author David Levithan's teen novel. The movie follows high school seniors Nick, Sarah, and Nora Demings through a series of typical teen hijinks one crazy night in Manhattan. Nick, the only straight member of the queercore band The Jerkoffs, is mooning over his lost love Trish, not realizing that whip-smart Nora is his true love, something the others, especially Nick's gay bandmates, will help him see by the fade-out. I'm happy to report that the gay bandmates are not only not derided by the others, they're seen as the most efficient, level-headed, cool characters in the movie. No surprise to us queer people, that is. Mooning over his lost love, Nick moans to them at one point, "You don't know what it's like to be straight. It's awful." A line that draws one of the biggest laughs from the audience. The picture's a bit of a miracle, a comic poignant winner, a blissful combination of hip, up-to-the-minute teen speak and attitudes, and a slice of urban teen life writ large. Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist, though a bit too long, nevertheless has got the goods and the hot soundtrack to speak to the Facebook/MySpace/YouTube crowd in the way that Fame, Days of Confused, Billy Jack, and American Graffiti, see, that's the one I remember because that's how old I am, spoke to previous generations. And if this truly represents the values and attitudes of the youngins, then I say let's put them in charge right now. I'm Richard Knight Jr., and that's your Night at the Movies Minute.
So, Deb, we always seem to talk about the bisexuals on your shows.
Well, that happens, doesn't it?
Yeah. coming up.
I love me the bisexual.
I know, and you love you some Sin, and
Sin's my favorite.
Her new segment from By the Way is going to be on today's show.
Yay!
Do you know a lot of bisexuals?
I do. I actually do, and I feel like for the longest time, bisexuals and high femmes in our community, our GLBT-identified community, have been misunderstood and misrepresented, and not taken as seriously. I think high femmes don't seem to be assimilating to the dyke lifestyle enough, and I think bisexuals still have the same thing that they've always had. I remember it being weird in the 80s, where people want them to, for whatever reason, I can't explain, want them to pick a side.
Yeah.
Or people just do not validate the fact that you could actually be sexually attracted to, I don't want to say both genders, because I believe there are more than two, but to more than one gender.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, because this is exactly why Sin is doing this segment.
And I'm glad she is.
On the Queercast. But it's interesting what you say about the, what'd you call them, high femmes? Extremely
yeah.
femme? High
yeah.
femmes. I like the high femmes.
Kind of like you.
Kind of like me.
Kind of like you.
I host these events, you know, and people are like, who's a straight girl on stage? Which is why I have to constantly say dyke things or lesbian things or I eat pussy or whatever the hell
right.
I have to say. But I don't think I've ever said that. Maybe.
No, I don't think I have either. I just wanted to shock myself.
Wow,
and it worked.
It shocked me and I repeated.
Sorry.
But it is interesting because when I started doing radio 10 years ago, gay radio 10 years ago, I got a lot of flack. And I got a lot of flack in general. In just, I don't know, not having the haircut, not having the Birkenstocks, not having the...
Isn't that sad?
The drum, like, not having the...
Did you say drum?
Yes, I smoke. You know, not having
enough Neg Champa burning at any given time.
Yeah, hating incense, which I still do, but I let my girlfriend burn from time to time. You know, like, couldn't stand patchouli.
Right. Yeah, you don't fit the mold of that lesbian, arguably that dyke. But I'll tell you, there's something about high femmes that I think make part of this community go round, because there's in some cases, they are the support to people that are sometimes more vocal around injustices, and sometimes they are the people running the organizations for those social injustices. And how can we expect to be included and expect and respected in any given community if there's infighting or inner strife within our own community? I don't understand it. Someone's too gay, someone's too manly, someone's too feminine, whatever that means. I don't understand.
Yeah,
that.
I don't know that anybody, like, I don't know. It's just a feeling, you know? It's kind of a feeling that just emanated. I don't realize it so much now, except that people sometimes are surprised that I'm gay in a gay bar. Like, I can be in a bar that's predominantly men, and they're shocked. You know, you're not
but
a
they
lesbian.
They expect somebody
no.
that looks like me.
No, you know, that right. kind of stuff.
Right.
Have you
ever got, you're too pretty to be a lesbian. Be honest.
I don't know if I've gotten that phrase. I just get a lot of the, no, you're not a lesbian. That, I mean, I get that a lot from gay and mostly gay men, interestingly enough. And
well, because
yet,
they think that the buck stops at what I'm wearing, which right now are dress pants and, Australian work boots and a V-neck t-shirt.
Well, I just think that I'm like I'm something freakish to them, you know, because I can talk theater and musical theater as well as they can. I can talk Judy and Babs and Liza with a Z, not an S, which is Lisa. I mean, you know, I can like,
thank you.
I can, I get El Decor, I get Metropolitan Home, you know, I like to, I'm not a big shopper, but I like my house. I love to have brunch. I mean, I don't know. There's just, you know,
yeah,
there's
I know.
Just these weird
people,
different
people,
things that
people
want to
put
are,
us in. That's right.
You know, and I think that in a weird way, I kind of bridge the gap between gay and lesbian.
Yep.
You know, And I have seen that evolve, but I rarely, if ever, well, I guess I shouldn't say that now, because now people would say the L word is all me. You know, it's all the me kind of person, which
well, and geographically speaking, I've been to South Beach, and a lot of lesbians do look like that.
You mean
they don't
LA?
Look like that? Yeah, like they do. They do. They have that high femme thing going on in South Beach.
You don't.
Or whatever.
Don't say South Beach. That's Miami. You mean L.A., Los Angeles?
No, I mean South Beach.
Oh, and Miami.
I do mean Miami.
Oh,
yeah.
You do mean Miami. Okay, because the L word's taking place in Los Angeles.
Yeah, no. And Vancouver, I might add. But
yes.
But no, in South Beach, I'll tell you, the girls there were tall, very thin, very subscribing to the beauty myth. You know, all the stuff that makes a woman more attractive societally, mm-hmm. with certain hair, certain makeup, certain weight, certain clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always thought of lesbians as people that just march to the beat of their own drum, pardon the pun, and sort of doing their own thing. And in some cases, that might mean subscribing to that beauty myth. And sometimes it's debunking it. And sometimes it's just knowing that you fit wherever you want.
Right.
And that's more than okay.
Yeah. Well, it's all interesting, all of the things that we have to become comfortable with, or that where we see, as you said, there's, I don't know, discrimination or inequality within the community. It all continues to come to a head.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to go to our segment with Sin, by the way, as she continues to explore bisexuality in the GLBT. She's putting the B in it. And I'm also some news, because everybody has come out this week, as you know, but there's much, much more going on, and a really cool new announcement of somebody joining Wisteria Lane. All that in the news coming up.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Blue Aluminum Bottle Maker.
Mr. Blue Aluminum Bottle Maker.
Your amazing creation allows us to keep our beer, our hands, and the Arctic ice shelf completely cool.
It's really, really cool.
The only problem we have taking a drink, removing our lips from the bottle after taking a drink.
My lips are stuck.
Sure, we need a beer this cold. Should we ever find ourselves running wind sprints at the bottom of an active volcano?
I'm on fire!
So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, oh fryer of the frigid. Now, can somebody please pry this bottle from my frozen hand?
Mr. Blue Aluminum Bottle Maker!
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Hey, it's Zen bringing you By the Way, where I'll attempt to represent the B in the big gay alphabet. Today, I just want to talk about some crazy-ass things I've heard about bisexuals over the years, and in my most recent research, that I believe are basically stereotypes and misnomers. First is that all bisexuals are promiscuous. Too often, when I bring up the topic of bisexuality to people, I hear the words slut and whore thrown around. Not that some of us aren't, or that there's anything wrong with safe, positive, consenting sex among adults, but I think it's unfortunate that just because we're attracted to both men and women, people automatically assume we'll fuck them all. It's like that stereotype that all gay guys sleep around and can't have monogamous relationships. Or a better example might be when straight people get weirded out when they find out some guy at their gym is gay. Like, just because he's gay and is naked with everyone else at the locker room, he'd be attracted to their ignorant ass. Or the straightie is somehow gayer by association and thus entitled to be affronted. Do you get what I'm saying? Then there's also the flip side of, so what if any of us sleep around? Gay, straight, bi, whatever. It's no one's goddamn business how we choose to get our freak on, and I cannot comprehend the affiliated negative connotation. Moving on, I asked one group of people to reflect on bisexuals, and they said that every stripper they knew was bi. And I've since heard this from a few people. Maybe I don't know enough strippers, or maybe it goes back to the point from my last segment that bisexuals are just more in touch with their sexuality and thus accepting of everyone else's. That could be what draws the bis into the stripping profession. Or strippers could just be fucking with people and telling their clients what they think they want to hear. I don't know that many strippers, much less their sexuality, so I guess this one's up for discussion. Be sure to leave a comment on this show if you have any feedback on that topic. Then there's the whole shtick about where I tell someone I'm bi, and they stop me and ask me how old I am. Apparently, only bis of a certain age are to be taken seriously. Like, if we're too young, we must just be still confused or experimenting. But I can understand that's often the case, and that, as Amy and the other hosts have discussed, bisexuality is often a stop before you get off on the train to Gayville. And I also understand that many people in the family have been burned by someone who was experimenting or thought they were bi just before they left them to live straightly ever after. For these same reasons, it's hard to be taken seriously as a bisexual of any age. So I guess I'm just throwing this out there to say that I won't scrutinize you, straight, gay, or otherwise, and many of us bisexuals would appreciate if you'd pay us the same respect. Just take my identification for what it is, unless you're interested in getting involved with me or honestly want to have an earnest discussion to learn more about bisexuality. But in that case, I'd also recommend you just continue to tune in. And finally, this isn't really a stereotype or a misnomer, but are there any other words out there other than bisexual that can be used to identify with the sexuality of people who are attracted to both men and women? You don't hear many gays or lesbians referring to themselves as homos, except in jest. Bisexual sounds similarly clinical and boring. If anyone's got anything, please share it in the comment section. I'm not trying to be angry or righteous. I just wanted to bring these things up for people to consider and discuss. Maybe you didn't realize that you said silly or insensitive things to the bisexual in your life. Hopefully, going forward, you'll have a better awareness and embrace us for who we are. Or, as usual, maybe you think I'm full of shit and you'd like to tell me about it on our comment section. I'd love to hear from you. Tune in next time when I take things a step further and talk about the conflicts of being bi within the community. It is a new walk in the park, let me tell you that. Thanks for listening. I'm Sin with By The Way, where I'll try to represent the B in the big gay alphabet.
Hey there, I'm Deb Pierce, Toronto's official queer respondent. I've been keeping you plugged into what's hot in Toronto this summer, and summer may be coming to a close, but Toronto is just starting to get warmed up. It's still hot, and so is our event lineup. Toronto is preparing for Nuit Blanche Festival, where one sleepless night our city is transformed by artists in some of the most extraordinary and unexpected places. It all starts at sunset on October 4th, one night only, all night long. You also won't want to miss Halloween, our week-long Halloween festival in the heart of our gay village. Think costumes, cocktails, and more eye candy than you can gobble in one glance. Want to find out more about our great city? Visit www.torontotourism.com. Hope to see you soon!
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News.
A gay serial killer was recently sentenced to 8 consecutive life sentences for the murder of 8 young men. Ronald Dominique, also known as the Blue Bayou serial killer, is suspected of murdering and raping 23 young Louisiana men, many of whom he lured with offers of money for sex.
Rumors regarding the sexuality of Republican presidential candidate John McCain's chief of staff have been surfacing on the blogosphere. Michelangelo Signorelli and others claim that McCain's chief of staff, Mark Buse, is gay. McCain and the Republican Party have many anti-gay views, such as opposing same-sex marriage and the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
The U.S. Senate held the first hearing on domestic partner benefits for federal employees on September 24th. The hearing, titled Domestic Partner Benefits for Federal Employees, Fair Policy and Good Business, was called by the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee. A new study estimated the cost of providing such benefits is $41 million for the first year. It is also estimated that over 30,000 employees with same-sex partners would benefit from the bill if passed by Congress.
Iran's president, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, is sticking by his belief that gay Iranians do not exist. Ahmadinejad first declared that gays do not live in Iran during a speech at Columbia University last year. During a recent interview with CNN host Larry King, the Iranian leader insisted that gays do not exist in his country, but added that if they did, the government wouldn't prosecute them if they stay closeted. In their own house, nobody ever interferes, he said.
Steven Spielberg has joined celebrities such as Brad Pitt by donating money to help fight California's Proposition 8. Spielberg and his wife, Kate Capshaw, donated $100,000 to help defeat the November ballot initiative, which aims to reverse the California Supreme Court decision that legalized same-sex marriage in the state. By writing discrimination into our state constitution, Proposition 8 seeks to eliminate the right of each and every citizen in our state to marry regardless of sexual orientation. Such discrimination has no place in California's constitution or any other, Spielberg said.
Former Sex and the City star and out lesbian actress Cynthia Nixon recently picked up an Emmy Award for her guest appearance on an episode of Law and Order Special Victims Unit. In the episode, Nixon played a woman with multiple personality disorder.
The gals on Wisteria Lane will have a new neighbor. Lesbian comedian Lily Tomlin will join the cast of Desperate Housewives. The new season starts up September 28th, and Tomlin is rumored to play a character now in the neighborhood to take care of a sick sibling.
One of the contestants on the NBC reality show America's Toughest Jobs is openly gay. Contestant Sandy Gabriel, a Texas teacher, revealed on a recent episode that she is a lesbian and is in a 5-year relationship. And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
So the show has been kind of about all things women in some ways.
Viva la vulva!
Boom, boom, boom. That was my hip movement.
That was nice. I got it.
That was the beat of my drum hip movement.
The boom, boom, boom. Got it. It has been all about that. Isn't that funny?
It is kind of funny. But you know what is happening right now? Is I'm having a brunch this weekend.
Yep.
Kind of for my bon anniversaire, my birthday. And I now have 3 friends with infants. One of whom is straight and 2 of whom are gay.
Yay!
It's crazy, the Prager. I mean, I thought we already had kind of the Prager boom, but now we're really having the baby boom.
Yeah,
again.
Every time I go to another pride, I see more men and women,
yeah,
couples with babies.
Is this something you have thought about, want to have?
Yep.
Do you have lots of friends with?
Absolutely. I'm doing childcare all weekend. This past weekend was the, yes. This past weekend was the Grape and Wine Festival, and the Liberal candidate running for Prime Minister here in Canada, Stéphane Dion, who I don't enjoy, was walking through the park that I was at, and I grabbed my 7-month-old nephew, my partner's nephew, and I ran up, and I knew that he would gravitate towards the baby, and he did, and we got a photo op. I will not vote for him, but it was hilarious that he got Zach and I in the picture, and I'm like giving a big thumbs up. Hey!
Did you put it on your Proud FM site?
Not yet. I've switched back to my iMac, and I've got to get rid of some old pictures before I start putting them up there. But
so you don't like your Liberal candidate?
No, isn't that funny?
So you like your Conservative candidate? Or how many candidates do you have?
No, not necessarily that either.
You have 1 or 2 or 3. I'm so ignorant. I don't even know what's going on in your country.
That's okay.
Except that you all have full health care. You have gay marriage. And honestly, I probably wouldn't care who became the head of the country if we had
well,
some
Well, that's
of those
the thing. What if they retract some of it, right? Because Stephen Harper does not want it. Our prime minister is pretty much the devil, and he doesn't necessarily want it, but we've got it.
Is he up for another term? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
4 years?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Will he win?
So, what's that?
Will he win?
Yes. Yeah, he probably will.
But he doesn't want it. He wants to retract it?
Well, he doesn't necessarily not support same-sex unions. He just doesn't want gay marriage. It's all a matter of semantics and, of course, religion plays a part into it, or they try to make it play a part into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so amazing. So let's go back to the pregnant thing, because I could jump all over that again.
Okay, let's do the pregnant thing.
So you want to have a kid?
Yes.
Do you want to adopt this kid, or you want to have it from your loins? Like that's what
I don't
you
think
want.
I want to have it from my loins, only because I'm almost 40. Oh, terrifying! And I don't think I know that I would come back to my job here at Pratt FM legally. They have to pay me maternity leave.
Yeah, you guys get like 6 months or a year or something.
A year,
and then your partner gets a year, right?
Yep. Or
oh,
your, yeah.
My God.
We have
so you can do them consecutively,
well.
Right? So you have your first 2 years with your child totally paid for.
Yep.
And what?
Certain percentage. It's a certain percentage. It's not your full income brought home.
But still, who pays for that? Your government pays for that?
your work.
But how do work? How do businesses not go under?
We pay. I pay maybe 35% of my paycheck to taxes.
But I do too.
So, but do your taxes get allocated to unemployment, to pension, to health?
Well, so, I don't know what they. I mean, they go to their taxes.
Yeah.
State and federal taxes.
Right.
We're doing something wrong here. See, I'm going back to the financials. But, okay, so you want somebody to have this child, or you want to adopt this child, or would you adopt an infant, or would you adopt a kid?
I don't think we're at the point of discussing adopting right now. I think we have a donor, and we're maybe not going to go with him now, particularly just because his dad was really sick recently and passed away from the illnesses he was suffering from. So we did have a donor. We're going to look in another direction. But my partner, I've been telling her only this week, I want you to have a donor with blonde hair and blue eyes so that between that donor and you, at least it'll sort of look, you know, kind of like us together.
This is what my friend George did. She carried the baby, and the partner has all the look and ethnicity of her partner.
See? And she just keeps saying that they're recessive genes and it wouldn't matter anyway. And I'm like, yeah, but it'll look more like me if you get a person of color to be a donor. I mean, so who knows? We're kind of only starting to, you know, we just moved in together. So we've only been living together since April. So we'll just iron out those kinks first before we bring someone else into the mix. But both of us, we have never, ever disagreed. We've had our disagreements probably about everything because we're both really strong-minded people, but we have never, in the 3.5 years we've been together, ever disagreed about anything about parenting, child-rearing, nothing. We are so on the same page with it.
Wow.
Yeah, we're complete disciplinarians. We really want, you know, we really like the fact that kids explore and enjoy. Anyway,
You're supposed to be a parent. You know that.
My mother has said the world would be a better place if I was a mom.
Aw, I agree with that.
Yeah?
You'd be a great mom.
That's a funny thing to say because I don't think I've ever met anyone and gone, hey, they'd be a great parent. But I do, I have heard, that's weird that you'd say that, Amy, because I have heard in my life that I would be a great parent. And I don't disagree with it. I do think that I would be.
Oh,
and
I think you'd be great. I think you'd be great.
Yeah.
Like, you're one of those people that I go, oh, yeah, you would be good. I would be good running a little company, but I don't know that I would be good running a little person because that's how I would view it.
Yeah. If it's not your thing, it's not your thing. And thankfully, you know, you are afforded the luxury of
I don't have the clock. I've never felt the tick. I can definitely see and go, oh, that's such a cute baby.
And
but
walk away.
I don't need to, you know, I was just in this cast of this show, and one of my castmates, Tanya, she has a little girl named Audra, who's a year, and is just the most beautiful baby. And I had fun, like, holding her for a little bit and thought she was the most beautiful child I'd almost ever seen. I mean, just gorgeous, biracial child. You know, after that, my friend George, she just had a baby with her partner, Teresa, just 10 days ago, who will be coming to my little brunch.
Congratulations to them.
And her little name is Quinn, which I think is the cutest name ever.
That's such a smart name. I love that
Adorable, right?
Yeah,
a
perfect
Q name. Who's got a Q name? So little Quinn.
Except at school when you get picked in alphabetical order.
Yeah. Well, I was always first.
Yeah, you would be.
If it was that. But, you know, it's just amazing. So I'm so happy for the people nowadays who are able to make that dream a reality, if that's a dream or something that is a part of you. And I think people do know that. And I've sometimes thought, what's wrong with me? Because I don't feel like it's a part of me. But I didn't think I'd be a dog owner either. And I'm a hugely indulgent, totally obsessed dog owner now.
Well, because you've got a perfect dog. That's why.
I do. She's a love. And she's
like, not only is she just love in a fur coat, she's awfully adorable.
She's awfully adorable.
Yeah.
Oh, and so are you, Deb Pierce. We have to wrap this show up, but we'll have you back on in a couple of weeks. And when is your election?
It's coming up in, that's a good question. I don't know the date.
Really?
Yes.
It's not the same every year?
No, this was a last-minute election. We weren't scheduled to have one.
Oh, why is it a last-minute election?
I don't know. Maybe we're copycatting.
Oh, dear. Don't copycat us.
Oh, believe me, our policies and procedures are leap years ahead of yours.
I know they are. You've got a guest bedroom ready for me, right, in case this all goes really wrong.
Listen, we've got 3 bedrooms and a back deck, so depending seasonally, wherever you want to go.
You could have a baby, and we could start a little corporation all in Canada. It could happen like
that. We could start a baby-making corporation.
No, I don't want to start that.
Oh, okay. That was too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Listen, you come up anytime. The two of you are more than welcome to come up. We met a couple from Massachusetts in Provincetown this summer, and they are they're artists and they're musicians, and they're like, we're coming north.
Well, they
and
live in Massachusetts, kidding. Where you can get married. One of the few places here you can.
I know, but they still don't like the company. See, I've got company in my head now. Yep. The country's policies at
it's
all.
Because we are a company. We've become a national company.
That may be truer than you know.
It is truer than I know. Yeah. I think we all need to pray for our leaders to come to some sort of non-greedy resolution. Can I just
say
that?
I saw 2020 Friday night, and they did back profiling from John McCain and Barack Obama, and really interesting backstories, both of them very strong mothers, absentee fathers, alcoholism running rampant in the fathers. I mean, just some very interesting parallels drawn between these two political leaders. Just really an interesting expose.
Yeah.
To humanize them, you know? We sort of debunk the myths of politicians when we humanize them more. And I know you've met Barack because he came to your restaurant.
Yeah.
But we kind of debunk those untouchable theories when we actually see them, you know, with a girlfriend or holding hands or as a child. We like, hey, they weren't just hatched. They were actually sons and children and, you know, brothers.
No, I think they're real people. I just want them to be really smart people with good motives. That's what I want. Is that too much to ask?
No, well, it might be on your side of the border. Yeah. I should stop taking pot shots. I do love America. And I do have a penchant for dating Americans, so I should stop saying that. But whatever it is, the most obvious thing I can think of is their stances on the war.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big bottom line for your country to work out.
Yeah.
Before anyone else, Canadian, American, or otherwise, gets killed.
Yeah. All right, Deb Pierce, we'll have you on again soon. Enjoy your fall.
Thank you. And you can have me any time you want. Keep me updated on what's going on south of the border.
Puerto Vallarta. That's what we're talking about. We're both going to go south of the border.
I would even get Croc sandals if you'd say yes to going.
Okay. Say yes. And go get yourself some Croc sandals, and we'll figure it out.
Ew. Oh, God.
Everybody, hope you have a good day. Next week, we're going to be doing an entire show dedicated to the 10th anniversary of Matthew Shepard's death, on the anniversary of his passing, his murder. And look at where we are. We're going to have head writer from the Laramie Project, Lee Fondakowski, on the show, as well as my partner, Kelly Simpkins, talking about the Laramie Project, their time in Laramie, and some of the creators went right back to Laramie just a couple weeks ago, where that city is now 10 years later. Plus, Mitchell Fain going to be on the show next week. So it'll be some serious and some wacky fun and everything you've come to expect. So hope you have a great day. Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming. Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, Amy Wooten, news editor, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now.